Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, you're going to love His house. And if you love His house, you're going to love His Word. And I certainly appreciate Brother Ken asking me to be here tonight. And probably my favorite place to be outside of my home church where I pastor is here. And I mean that. I wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. I appreciate the spirit of this place. And I know it goes without saying, but what the Lord is doing here is not happening everywhere. And I also want to say that if the Son of Man be lifted up, He will draw sinners. And God help us if we live in this generation and we're not reaching people. And I praise the Lord for this big addition on this side of the building. Brother Ken, we ought to be ashamed if we wasn't doing everything we could with the gospel that we have. And I praise the Lord for that. I ask you to take your Bible and open it up to the book of 2 Samuel and find chapter 11. Brother, you got me sounding real good. And I won't keep it that way, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 11, stand up with me. I sure do love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that He loves me. How many of you, when you opened your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 11, it had a heading or a title at the top of the page? It tells you what's on that page. Now, I can appreciate that. Matter of fact, mine, at the top of chapter 11, it says David's adultery. How many of you, your Bible says that or something like that? Let me see your hand. I can appreciate that. It lets us know what's on that page. But can I be honest with you? Sometimes we can get so caught up in the headline. Well, I'm going to need some help tonight. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the headline that we miss the whole story. And I know this is the account of David's failure. But we would do it injustice tonight to believe that there was only one man wrapped up in this story. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more scripture than I typically do when preaching a sermon. But I did see some dust flying when y'all turned over there. So it probably ain't going to hurt us. Some of y'all ain't there yet. You just stopped looking because you didn't want anybody to know you couldn't find it. Amen. So while we're reading it, you just sneak over there and find it with us, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you're there in your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Notice verse number 2. I'm only going to read 16 verses. But as I read it tonight, I want you to look at a man in this story that God has burned in my heart. And I need the Lord's help. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife," here comes the character that's in my heart, "of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived and sent, and told David, and said, "I am with child." David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me," here he is again, "Uriah the Hittite." Joab sent Uriah to David. Uriah was come unto him. David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. Look here for just a second. If you choose to live in sin, you'll soon have to choose to cover that sin. David, knowing that Bathsheba was expecting out of this affair, he calls Uriah, and his thinking was this, that if I can get Uriah home from the battlefield, he'll go home to her, they'll come together, and after he leaves, he'll think that this baby was from his reunion in time of war. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but I want to say something. We need some more men like Uriah. Well, let's read the Bible now. Verse number 10. When they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? Boy, I like verse 11. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. My lord Joab and the servants of my lord, they are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. When David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord. I like this man, but went not down to his house. David thought, I'll get him drunk and he'll go home. But Uriah didn't go home. It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. It came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. There fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Heavenly Father, I come tonight as humbly as I know how, Lord, realizing that without your help, there'll be no help. God, knowing that without your power, there'll be no power. This is your word, and these are the sheep of your pasture. God, I ask you tonight to manifest the scripture. God, give me ability that is not my own. Give me wisdom that is not natural. But God, may the Spirit of the Lord do a work tonight that will forever change us. I love you and I thank you. Don't you love Him, church? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. You can be seated. David has taken Bathsheba out of the will of God. He desired her, he lusted, he coveted, then he took her. Let me say something to you. There's a lot of good things that God wants us to have. But God never wants you to get what he wants you to have through sin in your life. If it causes you to sin, it is not the will of God. David takes her and she sends back word and says, I am expecting. David calls Uriah home. Uriah does not follow through with David's plan. So David writes a letter. And in that letter, he said to Joab, he said, when the battle gets hot, put Uriah in the most dangerous place on the battlefield. Then give a command that a retreat is sounded, and let them fall upon Uriah and kill him. Uriah takes that letter, what a man of trust. And he carries his own death sentence in his hand. He never looks inside, for he trusts his king. He never thinks twice, for he trusts Joab, his commander. Puts that letter in the hand of Joab. Joab, faithful to David's word, does exactly what the king had told him to do. That day, the battle got hot. Uriah was placed in a vulnerable position. The men around him slipped back, and Uriah, who had never done anything wrong in this text, was murdered in cold blood by a man that he was willing to give his life for, and a captain that he thought so much of that he wouldn't sleep in the house while his captain slept in a tent. Can I say a statement tonight about Uriah the Hittite? I'm going to need a good witness right here if you agree with me. After reading the story of Uriah the Hittite, I want to make a statement that life is not always fair. Life is not always fair. Uriah did nothing wrong in the verses that we have read. He was a faithful man. He was a fearless man. He was a man that was a family man. Uriah was a godly man. And in cold blood, his life was taken. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say it again tonight. Sometimes life is not fair. I was in a meeting several weeks ago, and a lady got up on the Tuesday night of that revival. And she began to shout and jump up and down, hoop and holler, and I'm all right with that. And she said, I want to praise the Lord that several months ago I was diagnosed with cancer. And she said, today I went to the doctor and he gave me a clean bill and that cancer is gone. And boy, we shouted and we hollered and we whooped glory and we had us a time. After the service that night, preacher, another lady met me and the pastor with tears streaming down her face. She said, today my doctor told me that I had cancer and told me that he saw no hope for my condition. Life is not always fair. Yesterday morning, all over America, a man somewhere got up and dressed his children for church. Walked back into the bedroom and shook the leg of his wife and said, honey, would you please go to church with us? And she said, are you kidding? I don't even want you to go. Why would I go? And he drove a car full of youngins to God's house and left a wife in the bed who was not interested. Somewhere else, a woman got up and dressed her youngins, and a drunkard cussed her as she walked out the door and said, I know you ain't really going for preaching. What is it down there that makes you go back week after week? And he cussed her and mocked her as she drove to God's house. And one lays in the bed, and one comes to church, and here sits a man with a family trying to raise him right and a wife that won't, and here sits a woman with a family trying to raise him right with a husband that won't, both wondering what the other has, and life is not fair. Young man came to me yesterday morning after our service wearing that black hair blacked out, clothes blacked out, eyes blacked out. And I want to say something. Before you judge this generation, you might ought to stop and think about the demons of hell that's been unleashed on this generation. That young man came and sat in our service, been there several times. He told his daddy yesterday, he said, I love Jesus. He said, but I don't want to go to church. His dad said, son, why don't you want to go to church? He said, because when I go to church, it reminds me of what I don't have. His mother enlisted in the army, went to boot camp, never came home. And he said, when I go to church and I see those other kids with their mom and their daddy, he said, it reminds me of what I don't have. Ladies and gentlemen, life is not always fair. some of you in this room put a child in the grave, and maybe one of the awfulest hurts that a person can ever feel is when their own children beat them to the graveyard. And you laid a youngin' in the grave. You watched others live and be happy, and you watched others have what you don't have. You may not ever say it out loud, but down in the depths of your heart, you thought to yourself, life is not fair. Life's not fair. Little girl in our church, she's 30 now. She met me last Thursday night, and she hugged my neck. She said, "Preacher, it was 25 years ago this week that I was a bright-eyed little girl with pigtails in my hair playing on the top bunk. And she fell off of that top bunk and landed on her head and permanently blind the rest of her life." And she said, "Preacher, it's been a hard 25 years, but," she said, "God's still been good." When I think of that little girl and then all the other little 5-year-old girls that still have their vision, sometimes we have to admit that life is not fair. I think tonight that if Uriah's life could be summed up in a statement, we'd have to say that life is not fair. And I want to say 3 things out of the story of Uriah surrounding an unfair life. First of all, notice with me the cause of an unfair life. I want to say 2 things about the unfair world in which we live. First of all, I'm going to need some good help right here. God created a perfect world. Well, I was hoping for more help than that. We don't live in a perfect world, but God created a perfect world. And much of which comes into our lives that causes unfairness, it was not the initial plan of God, but it is the result of man's sin in the garden. One of the saddest things you'll ever see is a child who has a disease such as cancer or leukemia, and that little child, though they've never taken a smoke, though they've never taken a drink, though they've never abused that young body, they are deteriorating and they're dying with cancer. How unfair that is! But that's not the world God created. God created a world where there was no cancer. God created a world where there was no leukemia. God created a world where there was no abuse, where there was no hatred, where there was no anger. God created a perfect world. But man sinned in the garden. And when man sinned, a curse came upon this planet. And I want you to listen to me very closely. Much of what we face that is unfair in this world is because we live in a sin-cursed world. Everybody agree with that? I want to say to you secondly about the cause of an unfair life. It's not only the curse in which we live, but the choices that others make cause unfairness in our life. How many of you know that no man is an island unto himself? You do nothing without it impacting the lives of those that are around you. And oh, I got to say this, Brother Ken. I hope the Lord will help me tonight. There are some of you in this room that are angry at God, and God had nothing to do with what happened in your life. Well, I'm going to say that again now. There's folk in this very building that are angry and bitter at God, and God had nothing to do with what happened in your life. If Uriah would have known this story, Uriah could have said, "Oh God, here I am serving you, fighting the good fight. Here I am loyal and faithful. Why would you let this happen to me?" And God, if he would have answered, would have said, "Uriah, I didn't let this happen. I'm the one who said, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm the one who said, thou shalt not lie. I'm the one who said, thou shalt not steal." Honey, much of what happens, it's not God's fault. It is the choices of others. So many times we get angry and bitter at God. We want to know why God let this happen. I want you to listen to me and listen to me well. Much of what we face in this world, it was not the plan of God. It is the choices that others have made that impact us. I found something interesting the day that Uriah died. The Bible says that the several of the servants of the Lord died, and Uriah died also. David's choice to commit adultery. David's choice to lie. David's choice to murder. It caused men to die on that battlefield who didn't know what Bathsheba even looked like. Men that had never stood in David's throne lost their life. Men who didn't even know who Uriah was died on the battlefield because of the choice of somebody else. Oh, I believe the Lord's helping me tonight. I believe we're right where we need to be. It's real easy to jump up and hoop and holler and shout glory. But there's some of you got some bitterness down in your soul. If God don't fix it, you'll never see any glory in your life. Bitter and angry and upset at God. And it's not even God. It is the choices that others have made that have impacted your life. And it is the choices that are made around us that often cause unfairness to come into our life. Let me say this. The cause is the curse and the choices that are made. But I don't want to leave you there, because I want you to notice, secondly, the checks of an unfair life. And by checks, I mean that God, in His infinite wisdom, has created checks and balances for this unfair world in which we live. Let me just ask y'all a question. Anybody ever feel like somebody's done you wrong and that they've never had to pay for what they've done? Now y'all just forgive me, Brother Ken. This is where my burgundy neck begins to show its redness right here. I'm just red-blooded enough, I like that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth business. Oh, I'm going to preach to honest people one day, and what a revival that's going to be. Don't look at me like that. I like that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, business. I like to know that if somebody's got me, praise God, they're going to get theirs. And we pray prayers like this, oh Lord, I'm going to turn them over to You. I'm going to let You handle it. I'm going to give You about 3 days and I'm going to help You out with that. I heard about a woman. Said she was on her way to work. Said this fella come by her in his big, long, expensive sports car. And she said, he cut me off with that big fancy car. Said he made me spill coffee on my outfit. And she said, if that doesn't beat it all, his car got paint all over my key while I was walking by on my way. Ain't that the way we like to do it? Oh yeah, somebody gets me, praise God. You better believe they something in me wants to make sure that I get them back. Now, I don't like to get even. I like to get ahead. I mean, you gonna get me, I'm gonna do everything I can to get you. Have you ever felt like those who have done you wrong have skated right by and never had to pay a price? You say, preacher, here's what they did to me. They sit and they smile and they laugh and everything's hunky-dory in their world and they've never had to pay. And sometimes we get bitter and angry. But I want to stop and say something right here. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. It is still in your Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth. You say, but I don't see it. Let me say this, you're right. You don't see it. You don't see what wakes them up at 2:00 in the morning. You don't know what rides their conscience at 4 a.m. You don't know when they've woke up in a cold sweat and the hounds of hell barking up their tree because of what they've done to you. I want to say this in addition to that. Don't you stop and think for 1 second. Their story has not been finished yet. The last chapter's not been wrote. It's not over yet. David lied. He stole Uriah's wife. He murdered him and let him carry his own death sentence. And if you just finished chapter 11, You'd think that David got off scot-free. Nobody stood up for Uriah. Nobody took vengeance for Uriah. But I told you, God, life may not be fair, but God is still a just God. A preacher walks in David's throne room and said a traveler came by and he had thousands of sheep. He said there was a little poor village man that just had a few. And said that wealthy traveler took his sheep and stole them. And oh, the shepherd's heart in David rose up and David said, I want to know who he is and I want fourfold judgment in his life. And the man of God said, thou art the man. You see, Uriah could not defend himself. Come on now. Uriah could not stand up and defend himself. But don't you be mistaken. God is a good judge. The man of God said, the swords are coming to your house. And before we get two chapters into it, one of David's girls has been raped by one of his sons. And murder begins in the house of Amnon. And a puddle of blood begins to trickle through David's life and is still flowing to this day because God is not going to let wrongs go without being checked. Some of you are angry and bitter because the person that hurts you has not been hurt. You feel like they've not paid a sufficient price. I want you to listen to me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God is a good judge. You better let go and let God. He can handle your affairs a whole lot better than you can. Uriah never stood to defend himself. But God said, I'm not going to let it go unchecked. When life is unfair, God has installed checks and balances in our world to keep things the way they ought to be. Let me say to you number three tonight, what is the cure for an unfair life? I mean, it's one thing that God will handle our business for us, but that does not fix what's been taken. It's one thing that God executed judgment in David's house, but that did not bring everything back in Uriah's world. What is the cure? I'm glad you asked. I've got a verse for you. Verse number 17. May be a surprise to you. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David. Here comes the cure. And Uriah the Hittite died. Somebody said, what's the cure for an unfair world? Listen to me. We live in an unfair world. We live in a place where we're done wrong. We live in a place where people take advantage and use and steal and lie. And Uriah lived in an unfair world. But you better mark it down. That day on the battlefield, before his body ever hit the dirt, he left an unfair world and he stepped into a land that is fairer than day. What is the cure for an unfair world? I come to tell somebody tonight, heaven's going to fix everything that earth has messed up. Hallelujah. The Bible calls him over and over, Uriah the what? The Hittite. For 400 years, the Hittites had a death sentence on their head. God told Joshua, said, when you go in the land of Canaan, he said, every Hittite in the land has got to be wiped out. You know the only reason Uriah was still around, you know why he is hanging out in the house of David? Because somewhere Uriah had laid down the God of the Hittites. He had walked away from the gods of the Hittites. He said, there's only one God. There's only one Lord. There's only one God. His name's Jehovah. And Uriah was born again. You know where born again people go when they die? They go to a land that is fairer than day. They go to a land where there is no adultery. They go to a land where their wives are faithful. They go to a land where they're not lied about. They go to a land where they're not murdered. Some of you here tonight are walking in some unfair places and folk have taken advantage of you. But I've got good news for you. Let the Lord handle His judgment. Let God sow that vengeance and keep your eyes on a world that's coming that's better than this one is. You say, why'd I get cancer? And she didn't. Well, sometimes life's unfair, but we are going to a land where nobody gets cancer. Woo! Somebody said, why'd my youngin' die? And theirs lived. I don't know. Life is unfair. But I'm telling you this, neighbor, we're going to a world where there's no short coffins, where there's no cemetery plots. And this world, it may be unfair, but there's a cure coming. Somebody said, preacher, I work hard at my job, hard at anybody there. They pick right over the top of me because they don't like me and I do everything I can and they promote them all around me. Why is that? Because sometimes life is unfair, but you better listen to me. If you're saved, one day you'll get a promotion that's better than a dollar an hour. It's better than a retirement plan. There's a world that's a-coming that's better than this world. Uriah was lied about, he was used, he was a pawn, he was treated like a fool. And he died as just a player in the scheme of David's plan. And life was unfair to Uriah, but thank God, he went to a place that's fairer than day. I wonder tonight if there's folk in God's house that you're saved by the grace of God. But you've been dealing with some things that just seem unfair. And it's caused bitterness in your heart. And it's caused contempt in your soul. And it's caused you to doubt the will and the plan of God. Listen to me. God will handle what's wrong. And not only will God handle what's wrong, if we're saved, we're going to a world that it's not fair, it's fairer than fair. Come on, Brother Carl. I want y'all to stand with me all over this building. Somebody needs to pile up on the altar tonight and say, Lord, take this bitterness from my heart. I've wondered why. And I've been hurt and I've been crushed. And tonight I'm going to let go and I'm going to put it in your hands. And tonight I'm going to take all of my stock out of this world. And I'm going to put some in that next world. And instead of trying to get back and instead of trying to get ahead, I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm going to trust You to judge those that have used me and wronged me. Can I tell you something tonight? Look at me, God may take murder out of somebody's heart tonight. You say, preacher, ain't nobody here that could do that. Oh, friend, you're wrong. You're wrong. God may take murder out of somebody's heart tonight. God may take a divorce out of a young home because you want her to hurt as bad as she made you hurt. And you're about to destroy some things that don't need to be destroyed. Back up and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You to handle what's been done wrong. I don't know what the Lord's saying to your heart. They're going to sing something. When they do, Holy Ghost has come by your pew. Would you come tonight and find a place and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust You with what's wrong and I'm going to let You make it right. Come on, if the Lord's helping you tonight.